Friday and Saturday, spring. Today, tomorrow, not so much. Let's greet one another this morning. We'll now prepare our hearts for worship and listen to the prelude to worship.
Amen.
invite you to read along with me, the invitation to worship. I will read the light printing, if you would read the dark printing with me. Come, let us walk with one another as the disciples did. Let us journey together as we tell God's story in song and proclamation.
Let us ponder what we have seen and heard, what we know to be true,
and what we hope beyond hope is real. Let us walk that our minds might be clear, our hearts open, and our spirits renewed.
Behold, God's journey with us. Jesus walks beside us. May the Spirit give us eyes to see the risen Christ. Here and everywhere, now and always, let us worship God.
Amen. What would you like to sing this morning?
315.
315. Wonderful words of life. invite you to pray with me. God of truth, we come longing for the peace that only you can provide. We seem so often to be tossed to and fro, blown about by every wind except that of your Holy Spirit. Be pleased to dwell here this day, to receive our worship and our praise. Linger long and speak the truth to us in love, that we may come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the full stature of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus taught us to pray, saying,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Set apart the faithful for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifice and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, Oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and wine abound. I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety. May these words that I'm hearing be blessed.
I invite our ushers to come forward at this time to receive this morning's offering.
Thank you.
choice, knowing that you are always with us. So we bring these gifts that the journey for others might be made easier, for we bring them in Christ's name. Amen.
Children and any others who are in the hard cracks to come up and join me. So, Maya, if you're ready, I have children's story for us today.
Thank you.
pastors ponder weighty things during things like the children's story and the praise song. This morning I was pondering one of those immortal questions that all pastors at some point ask themselves. Do I have enough time between the children's story and the praise music to get in a cough drop? The answer to that question is just barely. I'm reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 through 48. If you would like to follow along in your pew Bible, you will find it on page 861. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Well, in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. He said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer, to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Picture a Saturday afternoon at your house. The doorbell rings. Pull yourself away from the laundry, the phone, the TV, the iPad, or whatever it is you are doing, and you go to the door. Is it the bail person? Is it your next door neighbor looking to borrow something? Is it, heaven forbid, the Jehovah's Witnesses coming to try to convert you? You pull open the door, and to your shock and amazement, you are confronted with glaring lights, cameras, balloons, roses, and a guy holding an oversized check for $10 million. Against odds of millions to one, you have won the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes and big cash gift.
Not likely.
And what would be your first reaction? The films we see of most of these winners usually shows them with their mouths open and their eyes bugging out. They're dancing around, they're jumping up and down, screaming, "I don't believe it! I don't believe it!" Two conflicting emotions race through their systems at once. First, like Gene, a cultivated rationale that nobody ever wins those things, and the odds against winning are astronomical. The second is unbridled joy. Yes! Yes! It's really happened to me! Our lives are changed forever! It's what we've always hoped and prayed for. Sweepstakes and lottery winners are probably our best current example of how people look and react when in their joy they are disbelieving. Luke's description of the reaction of Jesus' disciples when the risen Christ appeared before them is perfect. While in their joy, they were disbelieving. When Jesus died on the cross, they had seen all of their hopes locked behind the rock at the entrance to the tomb. Maybe they remembered Jesus' words about his death and resurrection. But like winning a big lottery jackpot, the chances of such a miracle actually occurring were perhaps one in a million. Still, wasn't there that one tiny chance? And Jesus suddenly stood in their midst. The fear, and the denial that immediately filled the disciples' minds and hearts still had that one in a million hope. As he spoke to them, that tiny ray of hope burst into joy. Unanticipated joy filled the disciples' hearts. The miracle of the resurrection had happened just as Jesus foretold. The proof stood before them, asking for something to eat. When was the last time any of us can recall being overwhelmed by unexpected joy? By its very nature, we don't expect to encounter such joyfulness in our lives on a regular basis. Our carefully scheduled lives, one activity timed to follow right after the last, seem to be specifically designed to preclude the possibility of unsought joy creeping into our existence. We expect to be harried and hurried, tired and distracted. At best, we hope to schedule a little time for peace and quiet and a little bit of fun into our lives. But unadulterated joy? Now let's tell the truth. When we consider all the possible places we might find ourselves surprised by joy and disbelieving, is the church the first place we think of? Perhaps we would expect to encounter joy at a special family affair, when reuniting with old friends, when catching sight of a brilliant sunrise or sunset, schlepping to church on Sunday morning for services probably wouldn't be our first choice for encountering one of life's most joyful moments. And whose fault is that? That is our own fault. Church should be the place where we expect to be jolted by the Holy Spirit and electrified by the power of the good news of the gospel. But too often, church becomes dull and routine. Routine instead of joyfully startling. Respectable, routine, and comfortable. Always the same. Just listen to our calls to our invitation to worship. Our cars know where to go on Sunday morning, which maybe includes a brief stop at Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru on the way. Just as we can suffer from a vitamin deficiency, our churches suffer from a severe joy deficiency. When we find we have a vitamin deficiency, we take whatever vitamin it is we need to restore our body to its proper balance. Well, the time has come for our churches to tackle our joy deficiency. If our joy deficiency is what we pass on to future generations, we can rest assured that our congregations will shrink year after year until they no longer exist. And what do we talk about? As Christians, we feel duty-bound to spend all our time talking about judgment and justice. But where in that is the joy? Why don't we spend more time being joyous, acting as though something wonderful has happened to us, among us, and for us? In Matthew 25, 21, the well-pleased master congratulates his faithful servant by proclaiming, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Joy is not a silly, romantic sentiment that all Christians should avoid. Taking joy in life, living life to the fullest, is what God desires.
for his children. Our joy should be unbounded. It should be hard to sit in our pews. We have encountered the living Christ. According to the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus emerged from the waters of the Jordan River, God's voice was heard saying, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." The more accurate translation from the Greek is, "This is my beloved son who brings me great pleasure." Isn't that wonderful? Jesus gave joy to God. You and I were created to experience God's joy and in turn to bring God great joy. So can't we feel the wondrous joy contained in the good news that we are supposed to preach to the world? We celebrate the third Sunday of Advent as the Sunday of joy. The waiting is almost over, the day of Nativity almost here. In the Catholic tradition, today, the third Sunday after Easter, is called the Sunday of Joy. It is called the Sunday of Joy because of the introit that is sung in Catholic churches, Psalm 65. The first word, which is jubilate in the Latin Vulgate, or our translation of that word, is jubilation, praise. But we should be joyous like the disciples in our text for today. We should be struck all over again by the joyous news that Christ is alive and moving among us. So why are we here? We were created to bring God joy, to find joy in life, and bring joy to each other. Starting on this Sunday of joy, why don't we make a commitment to bring unbridled joy into our church? It is a sad fact that the joy deficiency in our world is so great that it takes very little effort to inject unexpected joy into the lives of others. A smile, a pleasant good morning, how are you, said with meaning, can turn a gray day into a day filled with joyful light. And it's a twofer. We can bring joy to someone, and we also bring joy to God. What could be better? One day, you and I will stand before God. And we will hear from God either one or two sets of words. The worst thing you can hear is, "Depart from me, I take no pleasure in you." The most wonderful thing we can hope to hear are the words that will ring through the end of time. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have brought me great joy." Amen. By popular demand, our prayer hymn this morning is "Surely the Presence of the Lord," number 314. If you have a prayer request, jot it on the cards in the pew in front of you, pass them to the ends of the aisle, and they will be brought forward by the ushers. And please remain seated as we sing.
Thank you.
hard to believe, but this week we marked 2 years of Lucy Lee's passing. We remember Robin's mother, and please remember Robin and the family in your prayers this week. Prayers for the health of Mom and Jason, and for an individual's future. Phyllis Regina is on the prayer list. And she is now home. We celebrate that with joy. Prayers for our daughter-in-law, Karen, for healing as she faces a possible third surgery. And prayer request for mended relationships, for family and friends of Marilyn White as they grieve her passing, and for Bev Tooley and for Ron also, for strength for Bev as she starts rehab. She is at Gaylord. We pray that she has the strength to participate in her rehab so that she might grow stronger and eventually return home. Not a lot of joy in those. So I have a joyous celebration. Many of us have bitten our fingernails down to the first knuckle, worried about our church, worried about the financial future of our church. I am joyous beyond words to let you know that Alcoholics Anonymous voted this week to move their regional chapter into 3 rooms in our basement, which will provide a much needed boost to our budget. And we are very grateful and very joyous about a new partnership.
Amen.
I'm really looking forward to getting to know them. They are really, really wonderful people. I'm very excited. So let us pray. Lord, sometimes it's hard to be joyous. Sometimes the world just seems to beat us down. Our friends, our loved ones are sick. We struggle financially. The weather is grim and dreary. And yet we are called to joy. When we lift our heads and look up, we see the resurrected Christ. We know that our hope and our faith is not in vain. And this is a cause for celebration. For with the knowledge of Christ's resurrection, we are faced with joy unbounded and life eternal. So Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the scripture. We thank you for the life, teachings, and example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And at the same time, Lord, we remember those in our lives who carry heavy burdens, for those who grieve, for those who are ill, for those who feel distant from your presence. We ask that you would lift their spirits, that we might be your agents of comfort and healing for all who grieve, for all who are in pain, for all who are ill. Lord, as we travel this road of life, let us be aware at all times of how close Christ is to us, that he walks with us, that he's there to guide us, to encourage us if we would but pay attention. So let our hearts be filled with joy. Joy in the knowledge of the resurrection. Joy in the knowledge that our Savior walks with us. And on this day when wars are rife, when every time we turn around it seems bombs have been dropped, chemical weapons used on civilian populations, we pray for an end to war, Lord. We pray for all of those who are forced to wander the face of the earth homeless because of violence and war. We pray for sanctuary. We pray for safety. We pray for their children and their loved ones. We pray that you might lead them to safe pastures, to places they can cultivate crops, raise families in safety, not feel the terror of war. We thank you for all of our missionaries who have rushed to serve in places of violence and pain. Bless them, Lord. Fill them with the joy of the message. Fill them with the joy of knowledge of your presence. And this morning, we remember all those who serve in our armed forces, who serve in places of great danger all over the world. We ask for your presence, Lord. And we especially remember those who come home wounded in body or spirit. We pray that you would send the great physician to touch and to heal, that their hearts might be filled with joy once again. That the long road of restoration and rehabilitation would be complete, that they might return with light hearts to families and homes and careers. Lord, we ask in a world where it sometimes seems hard to feel joy, that you would fill our hearts with the joy of your resurrection, and that in our joy, even if we are disbelieving, you would fill our hearts with gratitude. Christ dwells here among us. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand as we sing our final hymn this morning, number 264, He Lives? Shall we stand?